Hello, everyone. I'm trying to get my mic. Mic is acting crazy. Let me know if you can hear me okay in this.
It's not.
I hate it when my eyes are like this. It means that they're just like, have you ever just want to take a bowl of ice and a little bit of water and just put your eyeballs in it? That's what I'm feeling like right now. I can just pop them out. All right. What are we coaching on, Melinda?
So this is so far out of my comfort zone. So thank you for coaching me. I started in April. I was listening to you since last July, but just listening to you eating my potato chips along the way. And
and she makes sense.
every day. So in April, I joined. And I'm on my 84th 24-hour plan.
Oh, good for you.
So I did the June habit tracker, and I kept noticing a pattern. And I do recovery worksheets. I've noticed I do recovery worksheets when I kind of know ahead of time what the problem was. But my major problem
defeats the purpose.
I binge eat. Yeah, exactly. I binge eat when my husband is not home. And so I'm not blaming it on him. I know it's totally my fault. But I just spent years and years and years binge eating. And so I know it's just a habit. And when he's not around, it's just a free for all.
Let's not call it that. Let's just call it a choice.
Yes.
Because it's obviously not free, or you wouldn't be spending money in PNP and trying to solve the problem. It's a costly choice.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
Not, you know, in many, many ways. So I, he's gone every third night.
Okay.
So I just week before last, not this last week, but the week before last, I had lost 3 pounds as of Thursday morning.
Okay.
But he was at work Thursday night. I totally binged all night long.
And why did you do that? Because it wasn't because you're alone. Tell me why you binged when he left, when it was his own night.
It has nothing to do with him. Like, and that's my problem.
Yeah, no.
I do the recovery sheets, except when I binge, when I really need to be doing them.
But here's the thing. Like, and I want everybody to hear this. It's like, oh, but it's not because of him, as if it ever could be because of him.
Right.
Like, I don't care if he's a raging asshole because you bitch every day. You're still not binging because of that. You're binging right. Because you don't want to deal with yourself.
Yeah.
So, like, I just, like, I think that's such a really important thing for a lot of the girls, because it's almost like in your mind, it's like, well, I know it's not because of him, but it's, you can see the thought pattern that it must be because of something that's causing me to do this. It's not.
And that's my problem is I spent 10 years in a bad marriage, bad divorce. I was cheated on, all the good excuses, but now my life is wonderful.
Yeah. But how is that even relevant to you binging? Tell me how that's like, how did that even like pop up into the conversation of a Friday night binge?
Cause I feel like that's what created my habit of doing it.
Right. So all you've done is said, oh, it's not because my husband's being an ass. It's because of this. That's why I'm saying.
No. I'm saying no. For 10 years, that's why I did it. And so now I just got to figure out how to break that habit.
This is not a habit yet. This is what I want you to see. You're still blaming that. You're saying the reason why I do this now is because that habit started back during this. No, the reason why you're doing it now, because you're not stopping doing it now. It literally has nothing to do with that. The reason why this is important is because if it has something to do with that, you can't change it. So you can't change the binging. If that is the reason why we do it. It takes a lot of people, we can say, this is why it started. So I was in this marriage and I would eat. And then my brain made a connection between eating and this marriage. But you did not binge because of the marriage. You just happened to start binging while you were in a marriage that was like it is. You know how we know that the binging wasn't because of the marriage? because you're now in a good marriage.
Right.
They have nothing to do with each other.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I don't totally blame it on that. I blame it on the stress. I mean, after that, I spent years as a single mom, went through nursing school.
But listen to what I'm saying. You're grasping for the reason why you're binging now has to make sense other than I'm just not womaning up and not doing it. Like you're really wanting to prove this binging is somehow like I've got my why, I've got all this, and it's not solving shit. So quit hanging on to it. Like I want you to hear it one more time. If you're binging, it's because of stress and it's because of that marriage and all this other stuff, then you would never binge when you feel good. You would never binge when you're just alone because you wouldn't have all that.
I don't want to blame all that. That's why I'm here.
Why I'm here. Like, this is how you stop doing it. When you talk about your binges, you say, on Friday night, he left. I had an urge. I chose to eat. I don't need a big, like, reason why. You know why I chose to eat? Because choosing to eat felt way better than choosing not to. That's the only reason. That is the only reason why any of you overeat. And the only, like, when I overeat, it's because I'm going to tell you right then, in that moment, having what I want feels way better than telling myself no. That's why we do it. And spending time unwinding why it started, like, well, let me tell you my heartbreaking story of back in the day. And this, everybody does this. Hell, I did it for years too. We all do it. It's like, it's harder. It's easier to be there, even though it sucked. It is way easier to talk about it in that way than to talk about it and say, you know, he's going to be going, when's the next time he goes to work?
Monday.
Yeah. It's a lot easier to say, I know how it all started and all this other stuff, rather than say, you know what, Corinne, Monday's coming. I'm going to want to binge because it's what I've noticed on my pattern. I've got to figure out how not to binge on Monday night because I'm going to want it so bad and there's not going to be a damn thing you're going to tell me. It's going to make it easier. So what are we going to do to make doing hard worthwhile? That's why we don't choose that line of thinking.
So how do I make it easier?
Do what?
So how do I make it easier?
You don't. You let go of the idea it's supposed to be easy. You let go of the desire to stop binging to be an easy process. Because here's the problem. If you think that there's an easy solution out there somewhere for you, and one that's not going to have you going through the discomfort and restlessness and a little bit like catching yourself when you're white knuckling and rerouting out of that, if you don't think it's not going to be that, and your brain's looking for easy, the second all that starts, guess what we go to? Something's wrong. This is too much for me. I cannot do this. You have to redefine what it's going to be like. You have to redefine that you don't need it to be easy. You just need to do it and get started with it and do the recovery worksheets. Like one of the level ups you need to make is quit doing recovery worksheets when they're easy. Mm-hmm. Look for all your patterns of when am I embracing easy? When am I not challenging myself? Where are all the places that I'm not asking myself to get out of my own comfort zone? One of the first places is probably going to be the recovery worksheets. They just get done no matter what. Absolutely. That's going to have to be number one.
Yeah.
And then the second thing I would do is I'd really think about, there's the difference between, so let's think about, see, Monday night is what, tomorrow? Today's Sunday? Mm-hmm. This is, like, y'all, this is entrepreneurial brain. You never know what day it, like, you just work every day, so you're always like, what day is it? Feels like Wednesday. We got tomorrow coming. And he's going to, what time's he leaving?
He leaves at 7 a.m. and gets home 7 a.m. the next day.
Okay, and when do we binge? Is it like an all-day affair, or is it just?
No. Every other time of day, I've kicked a total Dr. Pepper Mountain Dew habit. I've kicked a candy habit, everything, but it's just at night when he's not home.
Okay, so when he's at night, when he's not home, what's different between that and noon?
I'm comfortable at home versus being at work and being busy.
Okay, so you're distracted when you're at noon. Why not just binge though at work? Shit. There's a lot of people go get in their car and drive and just sit in their car and binge during lunch. Tons of people do that. I'm serious. I've got a girlfriend that does it. She only binges between 11 and 1 p.m.
I've been really good at bringing my lunches, meet my lunches. And I used to go to the vending machine every day at 3 o'clock, and I don't do that anymore.
So, but why don't you do that? That's what I want to, let's figure out.
Because I got goals. Because I've learned through PMP just to have goals, and they're important to me. And
how much time are you spending thinking about that and using that as fuel at night?
Hey, it's like a war in my head.
Yeah, of course.
I give in. And not every third night, especially once I saw the pattern. And I lost 3 pounds last week, so, but I still know it's a problem, and I don't want to just white knuckle through it like you teach. Yeah.
So tell me about the war.
Just telling myself, you know, you have goals, you have these things you want to do, and I want the food more for some reason.
But tell me about the war part. Telling yourself you've got goals, that's called like
this. No, I mean, I tell myself.
That's a good part.
Yeah. So I want to be under 200 pounds for my birthday, my 45th birthday in August. My stepdaughter is getting married in Vegas in October. And I want
to hear the white knuckling. I want to hear when it goes into a war. Like you said, there's a war in my head. So far, I've heard the conversation you're supposed to be having. Like, okay, this is what it's really supposed to feel like. It's supposed to feel like shit. You're supposed to be reminding yourself of your goals and what you want.
So in between telling me of my goals, I'm also telling myself I have no willpower. I'm disgusting. I'm a glutton. All those things.
Is that happening before you eat? Or is that happening once eating starts?
Both. And it doesn't seem to stop me.
Okay. Well, it's not going to stop you, because this is the thing. That is your urge voice. That's going to be that's the commentary. So I want you to think about this. Your goal voice, that's your conscious brain talking to you, like saying, we got to think new things, because what we have been thinking all roads lead to a binge. So it's really separating out those two types of conversations. So you've got one side where your reasoning brain, this is the good news. Because you have done recovery worksheets and you have done this stuff, you see your pattern. This is where the reasoning brain, the conscious brain, gets an opportunity to have a conversation. It gets to get into the mix. So you've got it talking about your goals and stuff. One of the things that you need to add to your reasoning brain is that when the other conversation starts up, it needs to be like compassionate with it. It needs to be understanding with it. It needs to be like, yeah, you're supposed to be part of this process too. You like, here's the things you tell me, that I'm a glutton, that what was it? I'm a glutton. There were some other really juicy ones. I'm a failure.
Just that I have no willpower. I'm disgusting.
Yeah. And so what you need to do is you need to make a list of those things. That's the urge voice. That's the one that's coming up from your unconscious brain. It is literally sending all of that because it's supposed to. You've got to quit expecting that to stop anytime soon. Your expectation needs to be, there's going to be a very back and forth ping pongy dialogue for a few days. Every single time I want to binge, it's going to feel worse before it feels better. I want you to start hearing that urge voice where it's like tearing you down, but not believing it anymore. That's where the reasoning brain can assist you. So when it says you have no willpower, you're a glutton, and you're a failure, you need to say, and of course, that's always the things I'd say to myself to get me to eat. Doesn't mean they're true. This is just my conditioned thoughts, the like neurological junk that gets me to eat. The problem is you're believing it. Because if you didn't believe those things about yourself, then when your brain throws it up, you wouldn't need to escape from it. That's when we know when we're actually making traction with binge eaters, is the moment the shame voice comes in, when you switch gears to being like, ah, this is just shit that I think. This is not who I am. That's when it all changes and you can get authority over it. So I think for you, it's going to be a matter of on Mondays. I want you to know, like, the first few times you don't binge, it can feel like white knuckling, but there's a lot of back and forth. But it's not white knuckling. White knuckling is when you think that urge voice has to go away in order to not binge. And it's like, no, your belief in those things, that's what has to go away.
Right.
Not the words, not the sentences.
I am the most compassionate person. I'm a nurse and I've won an award for being the most compassionate, but I can, for some reason, I don't have any compassion for myself.
What?
I don't know why.
Well, tell me why.
I don't. I can't say I don't know, but I really don't. No.
Give me three reasons why you're a terrible person. Here's an amazing, good feeling coaching call. Let's talk about why you're horrible. Tell me three of your worst judgy thoughts about yourself. Because if you don't have compassion for yourself, it means that you're judging yourself. I think your connection is going to the pooper.
I've been divorced. Oh, I'm sorry.
Why is
I've
that?
I've been divorced more than once.
Okay. I've been divorced too.
Why is what?
I said, why is that so bad? I've been divorced and I think I'm amazing. I was smart enough to get out of it. That's the way I think about it. Like, yay me. I didn't say in a marriage it sucked.
Yeah. I feel like any of the things I would say would just be old history BS that I know is not.
But you don't know.
Important.
But this is the problem. It is important because you're not allowing yourself to like yourself over them. That's why it's important.
Okay.
This is why we have to sometimes do what?
I'm getting better at it.
This is kind of what the work I would like for you to do, but not on the third night. Like, this is intense work that shouldn't be done like when you're trying to not binge, because you're going to pull up some stuff. But I would like for you to like take, it's downstairs. I will send to Kathy something that we can put into this call, but it is basically, I want you to take some time rewriting the story you tell yourself about some of your most painful events that lead you to, what I want you to do is have compassion for who you were then and who you are now. And then I want you to rewrite the story around like for me with my divorce, I tell myself a very different story about it than you tell yours. If I wanted to tell it terribly, I absolutely could. I mean, this guy cheated on me, stole money from me. I ended up having to move back in with my grandparents, lost everything, lost a full scholarship, all kinds of bullshit. I could tell myself the worst story. I could say that I was stupid for ever marrying him. Like, the events of the marriage, I could give a shit about. But it's, who am I because of it? Is the most important thing. And that's what you have to ask yourself. And like, when I think about that marriage, I think about these things. I was smart enough to walk away even at 20 years old. It would have been so easy to stay with someone when I had no self-esteem and I left anyway. At 250 pounds, I left. I look back all the time and think, what strength it took for a fat girl to leave someone. Believing she'd never marry because of how she looked. I look back at that and just think, you were so brave. It must have took a lot in you, stuff you didn't even know you had back then. And that's the story I tell myself about how that created so much resilience for me later in life. It helped me define the standard by which I would get married one day too. And then I was engaged to another douchebag who cheated on me. We were this close to getting married, and I called it off on my birthday. So, like, you get to tell your story however you want. Right now, I'm going to, like, beg you to quit telling it in a way that makes you feel like you're a bad person today.
And I'm glad everything happened. I do feel strong. I do. I mean, I put myself through nursing school with two teenagers and I'm in such a better place now. So I am proud. It's just those deep down stupid feelings that keep coming up.
Those are the ones you need to write about. And you need to just tell yourself, like, we're too fucking old to be thinking this shit anymore. Our life is too good to binge and feel bad over some dumbass shit from years ago. But you have, like, this is, you know, a lot of times I tell you guys, like, you know, quit digging around in your past, blah, blah, blah. It's when you're digging around in your past to find blame for today, or like, I just need to know why, as if that's going to, like, you know, if we say, this is exactly why you started binging, it isn't going to make Monday night easier. Ever. It's not like you're going to be like, I don't have to binge anymore. Now I know how it started. Like, no, you're still, what do you eat on Monday night? Like, what is like your favorite binge food?
God, like anything. Like, I'm not even really keeping great things in the house because we just do home chef.
Everybody would be like, good choice.
Like, we don't even.
Like chips?
The little Lindt chocolate. The little Lindt chocolate truffles.
That's a good example. So let's say that we look back, and it's like, you know what it was? It was May 22nd of like 2001. That's when it all started, and this is why. Oh, it was also his fault. Tomorrow night when Lindt chocolate truffles are sitting there, it's going to be like, fuck all that. I still want them. They taste kind of good. Doesn't make them taste any worse. Like, they're not going to taste like soap in our mouth. We're still going to want them. That's why for a lot of you, what I tell you guys is don't dig around in your past thinking that if I find something, it will give me my magic why, and then everything will be easy. But what I do want is when you identify, I am hanging on to pain from my past to beat myself up today over, then we need to go back. We need to look at what we're beating ourselves up over and reconcile that piece. Not to make today easier, but to allow you to start doing harder work for yourself. Because clean that up, then saying no to chocolate becomes so much easier when you're not doing it from a place of, I have no compassion for me. Does that make sense?
Very much so.
I have that exercise. In fact, it's wrong word. I have the questions to ask. It is about rewriting the past. We may even have a worksheet. I'm not 100% sure. But if we don't have an actual sheet right now, I will get one for you. I have the questions in my book. So you can do that. And you just take each one and you just do each little piece. And it's not like the whole past. Rewrite the part of the story where you tell yourself it was a mistake to do that. I should never have married, or whatever that little thing is. Like for me, like the story that I had to rewrite was, I was so careless. I had a bright future ahead of me. I could have had a degree and I let him take it away from me. Like that was the story I had to reconstruct. I had to quit mourning that I never went to college, that I, you know, all these things. And it took me a long time to get over it. But I all had to start with being compassionate for that person in that moment and retelling that story the way I was telling it.
And I remember listening to one of your podcasts that was about rewriting the past, and I thought it was really neat. And then once I've started since April, I keep trying to tell myself the past doesn't matter, forget the past, all that. So I'll go back and listen to that and do that.
For you, the past is mattering. Not for everybody. Some people like diddle in their past for fun and hobby and distraction. I think you're avoiding your past.
Yeah.
And we can deal with that. And then it means we can deal with this even better. Yeah. All right. Compassionate Nurse of the Year.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was a good call. I always love how I'm just so proud of myself and my coaching. All right, Ashley, you're next. And if Julie Wilson's here. Hey, Ashley, there you are. Oh, no, we're both wearing blue.
Can you see me?
Yes, and you got the memo that today is blue day.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so what I'm thinking right now that's, well, so I'm an April baby. I'm down like maybe a pound weighing in from Friday, and it's been, you know, up and down a few pounds.
Okay.
So what I'm thinking right now is like, I mean, my brain is literally telling me I am doing all the things and it's not working.
Okay.
So I did go through my planner last night because I just wanted to have some data to tell you so that you could maybe help me better. So first of all, sleep. I mean, I've, you know, had a random few nights with, you know, low sleep, but sleep's good, 7 to 8 hours a night.
Let me get some other data first.
Sure.
So tell me, you joined in April, and how much have you, like, as of Friday, how much have you lost since April?
Friday, it was 2 pounds down.
Since starting, period.
Yeah.
Okay. And then how much do you have to lose?
Another 15.
Okay, so you have 15 total pounds to lose?
Yeah.
Okay. It just helps to know, like, what range you're in and stuff like that. Okay. And then do you exercise?
Yeah.
Okay. A lot or little, or what, how would you self-describe as an exerciser?
I would say moderate, and that's kind of cut back. Like, I ran a full marathon right before joining the tribe, and I did my normal thing when I run a marathon, which is like not lose weight because I'm eating. So, I've been focusing a little more on just strength training, you know, a few walks in there instead of running, maybe 3 miles running. I do Peloton, you know, maybe once a week.
So, I did mine this morning.
Me too.
All right. So how many days a week do you think you exercise?
Usually five.
Five. Okay. All right. I just wanted to get some of that baseline stuff first. And then I would call you like, what would you say? Do you do like 30-minute rides, 45-minute rides?
Yeah, a mix of 30, 45 minutes.
Okay, so you're doing pretty good. I mean, anybody who's working out consistently, like 45 minutes a day, 5 days a week, that's good. Okay. All right. I got my info. Now, tell me, how many times, so you got your data. What data, how much data do you have? Like, how many times have you overate in the last 3 weeks or however many weeks you track or whatever?
Okay. So I just did May and June, like review. So May, I was on plan 74% of the time. And then I had 14 overeats.
Okay.
So 13 of those, though, I recorded as a plus three.
Okay.
And I had one binge. And then June, I was on plan 90% of the time, but I had even more overeats. So I did it last night. So it was 21 overeats.
So how are you on plan 90% of the time with that many overeats?
Like, I guess what I mean is I only eat what I plan to eat, but there was an overeat.
Okay. One of the things that you can tweak when you collect your data is whether you're on plan or off plan or overeat, it is a no for the day.
Okay.
So like if you had 21 overeats in June, then that would be like being on plan. I don't know math. I'm like, I'm fixing this for 10 as if I'm going to give her a percentage. Significantly lower than 90%. Let's put it that way. It's probably more in the 20 to 30% range.
Yeah. If I counted my overeats, it was 73% of the time, you know, days. Now it still is mainly to plus three. And I think that is like, I'm eating too quickly.
Okay. Slow down eating.
Yeah. But I still have some like, mental stuff around that because I'm doing like some fasting.
Tell me your most painful thought right now. Let me just tell you what your most painful thought is right now. Mm-hmm. I'm doing everything and it's not working.
Yes.
It's very clear that it's, I'm doing some stuff and fooling myself that this is why it's not working. Mm-hmm. Like, what is it going to take to not binge and not overeat this next month? That's the real question. You're going to lose weight just fine if you just don't have overeats and then no binges.
Okay. Do you think that's true? Because my brain's telling me, like, you're already leveled up like so many levels. Like,
no, you're not. You're overeat. You're saying, I want to lose weight, Corinne, but I got to be able to overeat and have an occasional binge. Help me.
No, I know what you're saying. But I'm like, man, I was like binging on sugar last month and now it's like broccoli. And I'm like, and then my brain is just like, oh my gosh, it's gonna be too much of a level up to like
not binge and overeat. That is like a wild expectation to start eating at a 2 versus a 3. Like this is, I want you to hear it out loud because your brain seems very sly. It's trying to convince you that somehow you should be able to overeat. That's all it wants you to do. You're just like, let's just keep overeating. Tell me why you just don't want to not overeat anymore. Why do you want to keep giving your body way more food than it needs to lose weight?
In those moments, I think what I'm like watching for the two. And I think I literally start eating like too fast so that I'll miss it, you know?
And then but this is the thing. You're going to your action line. You're trying to figure out on the action line what's happening. Mm-hmm. I want to know mentally why you're like, you're arguing with me that you should keep overeating. Mm-hmm. That's where the drama is. If all it takes is look, eat with your left hand. Are you left-handed or right-handed?
Right-handed.
Okay. The next month, I just want you to eat with your left hand. Problem solved. Mm-hmm. That'll slow you down.
Yeah.
But here's your face. Mm-mm. That's not going to work. Like, your brain is just like, we should be able to lose weight and yet eat whatever we want. Because what we want is to overeat.
Well, my brain is telling me that going from a 3 to a 2 mm-hmm. is like not going to be enough.
Well, let me ask you this. You haven't tried it yet. What if you just tell your brain, we don't know dick.
Yeah.
We're overeating and we're trying to prove that this won't work over here. Let's stop trying to prove that eating to a 3 will work. Let's try eating to a 2 and just see what happens. Mm-hmm. That's what I always tell my brain. I'm just like, girl, you don't know shit. Like, I tell myself all the time, why are you arguing with something you haven't tried yet?
Yeah.
I tell you why you're arguing with it. You're going to be hungry. You're not going to get to overeat. And you're going to have to, like, stop eating when you like to continue to eat. You're going to have to stop and not like it.
And I guess I get into some weird thoughts with, like, I'm not like being religious about fasting, but I normally eat my first meal at lunch. So it's like, oh, well, you're never going to make it to lunch if you don't eat, you know, at least to a 3 at dinner or whatever.
You don't know what's going to happen because you're not doing it. I love how you're so sold that you know exactly what's going to happen before you even do it.
Well, I mean, the funny thing is when I signed up for the coaching call, I mean, I really in my head was thinking like, I pretty much eat to a +2. And I'm sure it's like been very rarely that I've gone like to a 3 or whatever. And then when I was counting the days last night, I'm like, oh, that was a lot more +3s than I thought there were.
Yeah. Imagine if you just had a lot of +2s, what could be happening? Mm-hmm. We already know eating to +3 won't work. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. Why are you fasting? Give me a good reason why you're fasting, or give me your reasons for fasting.
I just don't like making breakfast. Like, I'm busy in the morning.
Okay.
And
then you shouldn't worry about being hungry. That should be a no brainer. It's like, if your reason is, I don't even like making breakfast, I'm too busy in the mornings, then just eat to a 2 at dinner The problem is you want to eat to a three at dinner because it's fun, because in the mornings you're busy and you're distracted. You're not going to be in the evening. You're going to be left with wanting.
Mm-hmm.
That's why all of you, like our last call, this is why all of you say no to it. It's like, but I'm left with my wanting. Can we just get to the part where I don't want it anymore? But yeah, after you want it for a while, don't have it, and your brain quits asking for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just get to the, like, you don't need any kind of crazy changes. I would just eat to a two and tell yourself, I don't know anything right now because I'm not doing it. I need 30 days. This is a good month to do it. This is gift of fat month. Mm-hmm. Your present to me is eating to a two. No matter what.
All right.
How do you feel about it?
I feel hopeful. Like, to hear you say it back to me, it sounds promising. Whereas in my head, it's like, you know, it just turned into like, that's not enough. And, you know, I've got to like eliminate dairy or something crazy. You know, my brain went to something way, way crazier.
Yeah. Well, I think it's always, if we go to the way crazy part, it's a lot easier to go there because we're not going to do that than it is to just be like, you mean, try to just go to a two? Like, that's so doable and it's so right within our reach, and yet it's still going to cause discomfort, and we don't take even the easiest things. Yeah. So I think it's that too. And one of the other things, do you do models?
Yeah, I was going to do every day, but I ended up, I counted, I only did 11 this month, but they've been very, very helpful. And yes. You telling me this with my data in front of me, it's like, okay, I get it. If I hadn't calculated how many plus threes there were, I'd be like, no, Corinne, I'm not overeating very much.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be able to hear what you're saying. But now I'm like looking at the numbers and I'm like, I guess it's gotta be that.
Well, that's the amazing thing about tracking, is that when you track anything, the numbers just they don't lie. They don't have a story. They're just there and they just bring up awareness, and then you have to decide what you're going to do with it. Some people shame themselves over their awareness, and some people just use it like, wow, I really was misinterpreting myself all month long. Because when we leave it to our head only remembers the work we're doing. Mm-hmm. It does not remember when we just eat to a three and it was some extra broccoli and stuff. It's like, oh, that's all right. Like, oh, we exercise. You know, I mean, like, that's what my brain does. It's like, finish the salad. Like, you worked out this morning. You and Alex were hip-hopping on the treadmill time. You know, so it's that whole just being aware of everything. But when you track and you're honest with everything you're doing and you're willing to look at what's happening versus running from it or imagining it or thinking about it, it just allows you to make so much more progress. I really think this is your big thing. I just think if you have 30 days tracking like you're doing now, like, don't stop any of that.
Mm-hmm.
Literally every single day you think, okay, tonight I will be eating to a two. My meals are going to be to a two, and it's going to be uncomfortable because I'm used to eating a little more. I'm going to think it won't matter. Like, this is the stuff I'm probably going to be thinking. But I know that I need, like, I don't know what's going to happen unless I experiment here. And mm-hmm. this is the next level of experimentation for me.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that's all.
Okay, great.
All right. Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. I think it's Laurie next, right? No, I have Julie Wilson. Julie, are you here? I really wanted to coach you. Julie Wilson was here for a special needs child. I don't think she's here today. All right. Everybody who accidentally has their hands raised, will you please lower them? We have 20 minutes. So let me see if I can lower this hand. I'm going to lower your hand just in case you have it on there by accident. Now, if you would like to get coached today, and especially if you haven't been coached in a while, will you just raise your hand? And then put in the Q&A what you want coached on. And I'm going to answer this question while you guys do it. Because you need to put in the Q&A why you want to get coached. And then I'll do it. I wrote the Ask Corinne question stating, I'm so close to quitting on myself. Not sure if you remember. Oh, gosh, I get a lot of those. Anyway, I couldn't do the coaching hours. What can I do to figure out what to do going forward? I need to make a decision on this weight loss journey and be done with this back and forth. You got to decide. What is it like? I'm so close to quitting loss. You need to ask yourself, why am I wanting to quit on myself? Is it because the work's hard? Because I'm making it harder on myself? Whatever it is. Whoever anonymous is, do you want to get coached since you have something in here? I can do you. I know, but it says, you said me, and it says anonymous. I don't know who you are. Got to type your name in. Anonymous, raise your hand. Should be either anonymous, raise your hand, or, okay, Amaka, we're going to go. And we're going to do it fast. No backstories. You've been coached a lot.
I know.
Why are you fuzzy?
Oh, because the government's watching.
Oh, like either there's Vaseline on your phone or something. All right, we're going to make a decision, and we're going to make it now. Tell me why you do want to lose weight. Because your brain always likes to go to the shitter about everything that's wrong. So we're going to go to the right side.
Why I want to lose weight?
Yeah. Well, that's a shocking question.
I'm not comfortable in my skin. I feel like I'm more out of shape. I feel like I like compare myself to other people. Therefore, I retreat.
Okay. So your reasons are shit. Let me tell you why. Your reasons are focused on what's wrong with me. Tell me why you want to lose weight in a way that is not, it's got to be positive.
I got you. I don't know if this is, I want to focus on other things in my life.
Okay, but no, that doesn't have to do with weight loss. So the reason why we're doing this is because if you're like so close to quitting on myself, you don't have a good reason to lose weight. You don't even know why you're doing it. You're doing it to escape pain of yourself, which that can just be done with your thought work. Weight loss will not do that. Thought work does that. That's why your brain knows, like, we should just keep eating, because literally that's not going to change it. And then, like, to focus on other things, you get to focus on whatever you want. The weight loss does not do that either. So tell me why you literally, what feelings do you crave from weight loss?
I think that's my struggle. Even since doing Weight Watchers, I've always asked, what's my why? What's my why? Why can't I find my why? Because I'm thinking if I find my why, I will be able to, like.
No, it won't happen like that. But you need to know why. You need to know why in the moment when you want to eat, why this is important. You need to know, like, in that moment when it's going to feel terrible and white knuckly and urgy and crappy and all your beat up thoughts come in. You're going to need a why that says, and we're not eating. Today's the day that we don't eat because of all that. Today's the day that we just watch it happen. The shit show that it is, and don't buy into it anymore. So give me a reason why you really want to lose weight. What is the feelings? Like, what, when you lose, how much weight do you want to lose?
From where I am, 60.
Right. 60 pounds. Let's just say 60 pounds.
Yeah.
What do you think you're going to feel like when you lose 60 pounds?
More comfortable in my skin.
Okay. On my skin.
Yeah. I'll be able to dress in clothes that I like. So I think I'll look good or feel better about how I look. I keep thinking, like, I'm writing stuff for my sketches and all that stuff. So I want to be able to go in front of the cameras and feel like what I see.
So you want to like your body. Everything keeps coming back to it. I want to like what I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Instead
of, like, avoiding eye contact in the mirror.
Yeah. Okay, that's all really valid. But what else?
I don't I don't know. I just, oh God, I said the word. Like, I just want to like what I just like, I want to like what I see, both outwardly, and I'm working on inwardly still.
Yeah, well, you'll never like the outside unless the inside matches up. Like, this is the thing. There are thin people in the world who hate what they see every day.
Yeah.
That's how we know that losing weight doesn't fix that problem.
Mm-hmm.
You have a distinct thought pattern that you repeat and you indulge in of self, like, self-loathing.
Yeah.
Do you know how I know this, other than coaching you before?
My demeanor right now? I don't know.
No. When I asked you why you want to lose weight, you only gave me self-loathing reasons.
Yeah.
You've got to break the habit of your self-loathing. You've got to quit allowing it to have a payoff for you.
Yeah.
Your self-loathing allows you to quit when things get hard.
Yeah.
That's all. That's what we all do. Trust me, when I quit when things get hard, it's not because I'm sitting there telling myself I'm so amazing. I'm indulging in not liking myself because I know that it is the gateway drug to getting whatever it is that I want. When I don't feel like a good enough wife, I know that if I say that shit enough, we'll go drink. If I don't like my body that day, it's a lot easier to sit and drink about it or to sit and eat about it. That's why I'm so on to myself about that stuff. I think the biggest thing that I see with you, and guys, I just happen to know Amaka a lot, so this is why, like, a lot of you are probably like, where is Corinne just getting all this information? Is you have to decide that you are going to have all of those thoughts, but you are going to actively choose not to believe them anymore. You know your thought patterns. At least I hope you do. I mean, you're pretty good at, like, working on yourself.
Yeah.
I think the problem is you just keep working on noticing, but not breaking it. And I think you think the answer is, if I lose weight, that will stop all that. That's why it's nothing's happening. You losing weight will magnify all of that. Like, if I was you, I would even lose weight right now. I would lose this mental weight before I even tried to lose physical weight. Look at your face. You're like, no! Some bullshit.
I get it. No, it makes sense.
Like, tell me the worst thing that happens. If you just stay your same size and you just decide to, like,
just be alone forever. That's the thought, that I'll be alone forever. That I'm just going to not like the way I look and I wouldn't want to be around people.
You're alone now. You're alone now because of how you think about you. You have someone to live with, but you're not living with her yet. You're not ready for someone else. Your weight has nothing to do with it. You know what? You know why you're not going to find someone? Because you can't be with you yet. You will not find someone who's going to make up the difference for your own self-hatred. You think it's your weight doing all of this. Your weight is not doing anything to you. It just sits there. It is a number. Your brain, unmanaged, causes all of this. Allowing yourself to think, I'm going to be alone for the rest of my life. You don't know what the fuck's going to happen. I can for sure tell you, you're not ready for a relationship. If your relationship with you sucks, you're going to destroy other relationships with others. Because you won't believe that you deserve it. How many thought downloads a week are you doing where all you do is talk about who you want to be and how you want to feel and the work you're willing to do today to be that person?
I do a daily one. It's for my homework with Betsy.
But is it like, my question is, how many each week do not indulge in the self-loathing?
No, God. Like, very few. Yeah. I literally wrote, I don't get it, for the first thing I wrote today. So, no.
Read what you wrote today. I don't get it. You don't get it.
I don't get it. I'm busy or just, let me make sure. I'm busy or just have a lot of things to do today, Monday through Saturday afternoon. I had a whole evening last night to myself and could not sit with boredom. I went on YouTube, my HBO Go, Netflix, Amazon Prime, on demand, nothing. Nothing caught my interest, so I definitely buffered with food. I'm nervous because I don't have anywhere to be today. So how will I keep busy without plans? I don't want to go into the city since it's Pride today. I don't like large crowds. The movies aren't playing anything good. I really wish I liked the heat.
Tell me what you notice about this thought download today. What did you pull out of it?
I feel like the first thing that came to me is like self-fulfilling prophecy. Like I'm going to like eventually, since I am not, I don't have any plans. That means I automatically have to like overeat or something. Or
you're seeking distraction.
Yeah. I know. Like, cause just that one night yesterday, like I couldn't do. Well, I didn't do it because I was like, why am I?
Why do you need distraction? Tell me why you need distraction.
I don't. I just wanted something to like watch and wind down. Last week was pretty busy. We were winding up stuff for our, you know, sketch show. So I just wanted to like decompress. And easy decompressing for me is, if it's not food, it's TV. And then nothing was interesting.
Okay. There's one thing about needing decompression, but why did you need to distract? There's a big difference between, I think you think, well, I need to decompress.
I think that was the beginning thought, and then I started getting more anxious. Like, why is nothing interesting me? Like, and I kept on like walking to my fridge, and like, oh no, I'm getting. Then at that point, it changed from just decompression to distraction.
Yeah. So why did you need to be distracted? Because you sought out distraction last night. You're seeking out distraction today. Like, this is the connection I'm trying to make you see. The reason why you're wanting distraction is because of the shit you think.
Yeah.
You think it's because of work. You think it's because you'll eat. You're like doing it wrong. I want you to like, whenever you're your action line is seeking out distraction, it's because there's something above it that you don't want to see. You don't want to hear. You don't want to be with. The problem you've got to be focused on and solve, like, your weight is not a problem. I promise you, Maka, you will work on your relationship with you and quit needing to be entertained externally and learn how to really like yourself. Your weight will eventually come in line and it will be so much easier. You will only be breaking food habits. But when you're running from your problems and you're running from yourself, you're never going to be able to run hard and fast enough. Like, what is it going to take for this week for you to like yourself?
Well, I'm luckily seeing my two nieces this week, so I'm going to like my, just making them laugh and having fun with them.
So tell me, so that's an action.
Yeah.
But what is it going to take for you to like you?
I'm not, maybe like planning realistically, like, and actually like planning realistically and actually following through with it.
No,
I don't know.
I'm fixing to tell you. Thoughts. What thoughts are you going to have on purpose all week until it's an exhausting, I don't believe this bullshit job that you're going to have about you this week? You keep, if you don't pull anything out of this conversation, and I want, when Betsy gets back from vacation, this is what I want you guys focused on. You are so focused on things, distractions, my action line, and external. That's where happiness is. None of that can happen unless you get your brain aligned to creating it. Remember the model. What happens before the action line?
Thoughts
and feelings. So in order to have time with your nieces, where you're going to have fun and stuff, it is because you're thinking and feeling what in that moment?
Joy.
And you're experiencing joy because you're thinking what?
I love my nieces.
I'm a good aunt. How about we use that? Like, I love them. I'm a good aunt. They love me. Like, I can see how painful it is for you to just even search out the good in you. This is why we have to do it. We have to just decide. Like, we're going to be a couple. You and I are now a couple. You're not going to be alone anymore. You'll be married to me for a little bit.
My parents would be so happy. They're desperate.
Well, I'm just going to say, I'm not exactly the best person to be married to. Ask my husband. But you're going to need to decide consciously with me that all of this self-loathing stuff, you are very aware of it now. So if you're choosing to do it, it's because it's like, because I'm just not interested in being happy. Like, I want you to like promise yourself that from now on, when you're beating yourself up, it's like, it's because I'm choosing that I would rather stay miserable than happy. I don't even want to be happy because I'm allowing myself to think this stuff right now. We know none of it's true. We know it's lit. Like, you believe in the model, right? The thoughts cause feelings, cause actions.
Yeah.
So a maca as a person is just a maca. Who weighs this? Who lives here? Who's a YouTuber? Like, that's all we got. Everything else after that is left up to interpretation. You now know that your brain, when it's unsupervised, doesn't know how to talk to you. So now we're going to supervise it. And so if you're allowing that conversation and you're believing it and you cry and you do all these other things, you need to tell yourself, I guess I truly don't want to be happy because I am actively choosing to be in this space right now. That's okay. I just want you telling yourself the truth from now on. That will help you really understand on the inside and an emotional level, not just a thought level or whatever you call it, intellectual level. If you want to decide to feel good about yourself, it's solely up to you to do it. It is not my weight. It is not a man. It is not a career. It is not anything. It's, I got to believe in me and I'm willing to work on that piece. I'm going to tell you, this is the root of all your problems. Don't even allow yourself to believe it's anything else. I don't even care what's swirling around your head right now. I know you think it's because you're alone. I know you think it's because of your parents. And I know you think it's because of your weight. And you got to just tell yourself, that is the lies I tell myself. The reason why I feel the way I do right now is because I'm not managing my mind. I'm not training it to think better of myself. It's just time to get started on that part of me. It needs to be a calm conversation like that, not a high-charged one. Trust me. How old are you?
29.
Girl, when I was your age, I was ever bit a hot mess, if not. Oh my God. So 29 is the year that I started losing weight. I can fucking promise you I was at least this big of a hot mess, if not more. I wasn't alone, but I felt alone. And I felt like I was the worst mother because I wanted to give my baby back. And I'm not joking. I thought that Chris and I had made the worst mistake ever having a child because I did not like him. Just, I couldn't I couldn't figure it out. Why was I not having this bond like every other mother in the world? So it's like we all have our own doo-doo. So seriously, if I can do that, you know you can.
Yeah.
All right. Good call. I love how you're, I like how it was like, good call. And your coaching sessions always end in you sighing tears.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Do you have an accountability group?
Oh, I do, but I've been MIA.
Okay. Today's a great day to get up out of that.
Two of them.
Witness protection program. Bust your identity.
Yeah. Two of them found me on here.
Yeah. Time to check in, especially today. Because you just had a coaching session that was intense. This will be a great time to check in with them. And stop. Like, here's the thing. If you don't want to be alone, quit being a fucking loner. Just talking about the problems today. All right. Bye. Okay, I'm going to do one more just because I feel like I'm on a coaching roll. I can't stand myself. Let me see. I want to find a good one. Everything's weight loss today. Let's see. This is not weight loss related, but oh my God. My mother-in-law told a coworker that she hates me and it got back to me. How do I get past it? She's your mother-in-law and let it go. Like, my mother-in-law tells my son all the time about how, oh my God, the flight of ideas that Nana has told Logan lately. I just giggle. This is the thing. She's just going to have those kinds of opinions. You just got to let her have it. Like, you could go and talk to her and just be like, hey, like, this got back to me. I'm open to hear anything you want to tell me about, you know, what's going on, how I could, you know, is there something I can do? Whatever. That's what I would do. I would never, though. I always think that if somebody says I hate them, I always drop into compassion first. There must be something really wrong with them, or they're really afraid of me or whatever, in order for them to feel that. That's how you know it has nothing to do with you. And of course, she's going to tell other people. She's not going to come to you. That would take balls. People are not going to usually walk up to somebody and be like, oh, by the way, I just need to let you know, like, I hate you. No, they're always going to go and talk to other people first. That's just the way it is. It's like you're telling me about her before you go to her. So it's just like getting out of the space that any of that's gone wrong. And this is just, this is just what it is right now. But I just, if it was me, I'd probably just go up to her. Like, unless you just don't care and you just want to let her hate on you, that's fine too. Like, I don't go to my mother-in-law and say, like, you know, I need you to change your opinion or blah, blah, blah. And most of the time I don't even say, like, Erin, just come on. Let me just get you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Tell me how you're feeling about this.
Okay, so
a short version, because we don't have much.
Okay, well, I mean, in reality, I mean, I've been married for 24 years, and this happened probably 8 years ago. I know, I should.
Oh,
I'm trying to get past it. I know. No. This has been going on. Like, this battle's been going for a long time, and literally, like, I physically just feel like, I just shake, I get nervous, I want to throw up, I get a headache, like, anytime I'm around her. And
why?
And it's just,
what are you thinking that's causing all of that?
Well, that she hates me? That she, I don't know, she rejects me? I don't know.
Yeah, but that's not what makes, like, there's so many people that hate me. My mother-in-law rejects me and doesn't like me, but I don't go around shaking in front of her. So what are you making it mean? You obviously believe there must be something wrong with you. Otherwise,
I want her to love me. You know, I want her, like, she treats my kids so well, and she treats her kids so well, part of the family.
So 8 years ago, she said,
you know, she,
since then, what has happened that has gotten back to you, like, that Like, what, the last time you had a conversation with her about your relationship, how did it go?
Well, I confronted her about it.
I'm not talking about 8 years ago.
The person that had told me. Okay.
Here's what I want to say.
It's just a constant.
Go ahead.
It's just a constant, you know, that feeling is always there. Like, you know, as soon as she walks in, it's like, oh God, you know, she hates me. How do I, that's what I need help like getting past.
Yeah. You're going to have to stop doing that. That's all on you. That's not her.
What do I say to myself? Like, I try to do a model and I haven't really done one. Like,
you say to myself, that's my mother-in-law. You're saying she hates me. She does all these other things. What if it just, when she walked in the door, you're just like, and that's my mother-in-law. No more judgment of her. But you're judging her. She must hate me. She must be all these things. That's why I asked you, like, in the last 3 months, have you had a conversation about your relationship?
No, we just kind of avoid each other.
Okay, why are you not just having a conversation with her and just be like, you just got through telling me you want her to love you and stuff. Why not just go to her and say, what's her name?
Debbie.
I can't hear you. Your internet connection is awful.
Debbie.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Debbie.
So why not just go up to Debbie?
Yeah.
Like send her a text and just say, hey, I'd like to have coffee with you. I really want to just like I love you and I want to tell you why you're so important to me and our kids and my kids' lives. And I'd like to just have a conversation, because sometimes the story I'm telling myself is that you feel differently about me. And I would like to just talk about it.
Well, the problem, I've tried to like talk to her and she is very like, you know, she just denies it. She's not in touch with her feelings at all. And she, you know, she doesn't like confrontation.
This is the thing. That is your.
Well, when I try to talk to her,
okay,
like she won't talk to me. She won't be honest with me. She won't.
That is your judgment.
You know what I mean?
She won't be honest. Maybe she is honest with you. Maybe she's just like, you know what? I hate this bitch. You know why? Because I don't want to have a lot of big ass feelings and talks and stuff. That's not me. And she's constantly thinking that I'm not open, that I'm not a communicator, that I'm not, it's like, maybe she's not, and that's okay. Maybe that is who she is, and you're desperately wanting her to be someone she's not, so you get to feel better about yourself. What if you just decide to feel better about yourself because you're Andrea? And she's like, I'm being super honest. I don't want to have touchy feelings with you. I don't even like doing it with myself.
So, I'm going to August, and one of the, you know, and you had asked what kind of things we would want to touch, you know, how do you find like affirmation for yourself so you don't seek others? Like, how do you, you know,
do you seek others' approval?
Right. Like, I want her to approve me. I want her to love me. How do I
be nice to your kids? You're just missing the whole, like, you're just missing all the signs because you want her to approve of you in the exact way you want it. It's like, but this is approval. Like, when you're nice to my kids, that doesn't count. Like, when you come over and I've been in the family 24 years, that doesn't count. Like, no, it's got to be like this. Like, you got to be emotionally available to me. We need to have like really long, honest, mothery, daughtery type conversations. Now I will be like happy. You don't need a mantra. You need to get off your judgment high horse.
You know,
sorry, your internet.
You know, I didn't have a mother. So I think I expect. Hold on, let me move.
No, you didn't have
you
a
mother?
Yes.
Is it better?
Yeah. So this is what I think.
There we go. Sorry. Yeah, I didn't have a mother, and I think I'm sorry. Well, I think what happened was, you know, I didn't have a mother, and I think I expected her to kind of step in and be that.
You expected her to fulfill a role that was all imagined in your brain, rather than expecting to love someone as they are. And that is like, you need to like mourn this false mom that you created. And you need to let Debbie be Debbie and figure out how to love Debbie as she is and not hold her to a standard that she can't ever, like, you're expecting her to be someone that she's like, it's painful for me to be this person. It is not who I am. And she doesn't need to be that person in order for you to feel good. You need to, like, let her be her. Your relationship will be so much better for that. You will start seeing Debbie as Debbie without her needing to change. Because the way you're seeing her now just causes you pain.
Okay.
We all do this. Is it Andrea?
It's Andrea.
Andrea. We all do this. We have what we call, we're going to actually do this in the 3 days. We're going to talk about manuals that we have for other people. This is exactly what you have for her. Like, this is how we're supposed to have conversations, and this is how you're supposed to love me, and you're not supposed to say these things, and, you know, like, all these things. And the unfortunate thing is Debbie doesn't even really know what the manual is.
Yeah.
And so you've set her up to disappoint you time and time again. Anyway, she can't win with you.
That's what she says.
Yeah. Now you've heard it from both of us, so it must be true.
Yeah.
We will work on more on this on the 3 day, because probably you is probably not just, we probably need to work on this not having a mom, if I had to guess, because you have so much pain around just that one sentence. And we need to work on some manuals, because if you have them here, you probably have them in other places. Anybody that's seeking someone to love them so they can feel love is usually doing it in a lot of other places.
Oh yeah. Well, it was funny because, you know, how last week's homework was to pick a person. I had one for every day of the week, and most people are like, I don't have anybody. I'm like, what? You know, what do you mean? I have like one for every day. And then I decided to do myself because I thought, you know, I'm like, wait a minute. I'm the common denominator here. You know, let's see what do I need to work on myself in order to not expect. And that's why I wanted to kind of work on that, you know. Like, how do I find, you know, how do I become enough for me, you know, to where I don't need other people. And I'm so happy to hear that we're going to work on that.
We are. It's very much a
struggle.
Well, it's like a Maka's call. You know, so often we work on our thought downloads are all around other people and what they're doing and all this other stuff. And we forget that the thought downloads and the models, I think one of the key pieces is for you guys to do some work on the good of me, because for some of you, the most painful stories you'll ever write are the ones about you being enough as you are and loved. And I don't have to change to feel better about myself. I need to feel better about myself in order to have the, like, the energy and feelings required to do the hard stuff to change. Like, at some point, it's like when I've been thinking about this so hard about what made me start losing weight, because it could not have come from self-loathing. We do not lose weight and keep it off because we don't like ourselves. We have to, at a fundamental level, truly hit this place where we have figured we love ourselves enough. And I think about it, and it was the idea of, I don't want to be like this, but I knew I wanted to create something different. And I think it's because I stayed so focused on what I was willing to create and not focusing on what I was running from anymore. And Amaka, if you're listening, you need to hear that piece. But that's everything.
Well, and I think, like, the self-loathing comes in where, you know, I feel like nobody has my back, so I have to get my back, you know? And I think that's where, like, I try to protect myself. I try to, you know, I don't like doing hard things, and, you know, I don't want to say no to myself because I feel like everybody else will. And I'm the one that has to take care of me because nobody has taken care of me. And so,
man, that's something we should for sure coach on, that whole concept, because it's like, why do you want anybody else to ever take care of you? It's nice sometimes when people do things for you, but the seeking of needing it, and, as it's a bad thing that you're self-reliant, it's like diminishing yourself. It's like the best control you ever have is when you totally love yourself, you're resilient, you do for yourself, because then you can do more for others.
That's who I want to be.
You can notice when people actually are there. Like, I'm going to bet that if I was to watch from an outsider's point of view, like 2 weeks worth of your and Debbie's relationship, I would see a very different story than what you have. I would see, like, she ever babysit them kids?
Oh, yeah, when they were little. Yeah, all the time. Yeah.
I guess you had help and somebody was there for you, even if it was that big Debbie.
Yeah, well, you know, she's a wonderful person, you know, and that's, you know, she loves everybody and she's very caring, very giving. She's wonderful, but, you know, she just didn't like me. And I think I had, you're right, I had the wrong manual for her. I wanted her to be my mother. I wanted her, I see the way she loved my kids and I love, you know, the way she loves my husband and, you know, and I wanted to be a part of that. I think that's where I messed up. You know, that's where that's where my expectation was.
Yeah. We'll uncover some of this that I'm looking for. Well, you guys have a Facebook Live starting in 40 minutes. So we'll talk more about what all is going on at the 3-day in 40 minutes.
I'll be there.
Be in the 3-day group and we will, we will do that. So, okay. Well, good call.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And I will replay this and, you know, and I'll try to change my thoughts around her and, you know, and drop the manual and judgments and expectations of her and just let her be Debbie. So I like that. Thank you so much, Karen.
You're welcome.
Can't wait to see you in August.
All right.
All right. Bye.
All right, everyone. We'll call it with that. That was a good call. Oh my gosh. Today was all the tears, y'all. Like all the tears. Y'all have a good one. I will be back. Let's see. What is today? Because tomorrow night is the realistic planning bonus call. It will be at 6 p.m. We have a schedule change for the week after though. On July 8th at 6 p.m., we normally have a call with me. Betsy will be doing Zoom coaches office hours on that day. I will be doing my call on July 9th on a Tuesday at 6 p.m. instead. I'm traveling that day, so I didn't want to, I was flying home, but I was afraid that if the flight was late at all or traffic hit, then I would miss the call. So rather than us risking all of that, we just kind of flip-flop things around. It is updated on the PNP Tribe training calendar. So if you're subscribed to the calendar, it may not have updated. So just make sure you go to your personal calendar and you put in that I will be doing exercise and weight loss on July the 9th at 6 p.m. Central Time. And Betsy will be doing coaches office hours on July 8th at 6 p.m. Central Time. I would just like everyone to know I will be thrilled to be with you on Tuesday, July 9th, because that would have been my ex-husband's birthday. He will be turning 45 somewhere in this world, and I always remember it because he's 3 days before me. So y'all have a good one. Talk to you later. Bye, y'all.